Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Welcome to the Feel Good Podcast with Kimberly Snyder. Our goal is to help you develop a lifestyle that promotes health, wholeness, and healing. Feeling good is about accepting who we are and living from a place of inner peace in our perfectly imperfect lives. Every week, we provide you with interviews with top experts in their field to support you in living your most beautiful, inspired, and joyful life with a focus on health, wellness, meditation, and spirituality, and personal empowerment. I'm your host, Kimberly Snyder, founder of the lifestyle brand Saluna, New York Times best-selling author and nutritionist. Now let's get started. Hey, beauties, I'm so excited to introduce our very special guest today. Her name is Dr. Belisa Ronich, and she is a renowned clinical psychologist, speaker, and the author of Breathe, the simple, revolutionary 14-day program to improve your mental and physical health. So, Dr. Belisa, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me. And thank you for saying the whole title of the book, because sometimes I just get Breathe, and it is actually Breathe with that very long subtitle about your mental and physical health, because it's a little bit of both.
Well, I love your focus on breathing because it is, I feel connected to breath work from being a yogi and having studied yoga. It's something that we all do. But, you know, just reading your book, and I know there's a lot that goes around the fact that we're not, even though we do it every day, we're not necessarily breathing to our fullest capacity. We're not getting the benefits. So can you explain that a little bit? How is it that we're breathing, but we're not necessarily breathing correctly when it's such an innate part of, you know, an innate function of the body?
Sure. So it's a natural thing that we do, much like blinking, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we're doing it well. We're doing it just enough to get by. So if you think about it, when you stretch or you yawn or you take a deep breath and you usually think, oh, that feels so good, why don't I do that more often? Or sometimes you think, oh, that feels so good, I've been holding my breath for so long. And then you realize, oh my gosh, I haven't taken a breath. And then you start running again because, you know, somebody's crying or somebody needs something or you have to get something done and you stop breathing again or you stop breathing deep breaths. So although it is a natural function, we're really not doing it to the best of our abilities.
Is it as simple as breathing more? I mean, you have a whole book on this and I see there's a lot more. But I mean, is a preliminary step we can tell listeners breathe more slowly, more deeply, or is it more about posture and exercises or both?
It's really about the how, because we all know that breathing is good for you. And we all know that it's a beautiful thing and it makes us feel better. And intuitively, we know it's incredibly important, but the how, we never get told how. We get told these vague things like, you know, open your heart or breathe deep and breathe freely and all these beautiful things, but no one's telling us how. And the fact is that life has beat us down to make us breathe in a way that isn't really good anymore. So what happens is that until about the age of 5 and a half, and I say about, but we just finished a study that looks at exactly the age at which children stop breathing well and start breathing in a dysfunctional way. And it's exactly 5 and a half.
Wow.
And that's when, yeah, it's when you start getting stressed out, when you start going to school and start making friends or not. It's when you start getting tested. It's when you start sitting in chairs. It's when you start sucking in your little gut because you're trying to be thinner or you're trying to be stronger or you're trying to deal with stress of the world. So the breath then changes and it moves from the middle of your body to the top of your body. And when it's in the top of your body by your neck and your shoulders, you have to breathe faster using auxiliary muscles that really aren't breathing muscles. And then the breath gets short, it gets shallow, it gets fast, and there's repercussions throughout your body, your brain, and really your soul.
Wow. So these traumas or you know, stressful incidences that happen as we're children, are most of us keeping those patterns from 5 and a half for the rest of our life? Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly what happens. So for instance, It might be a combination of things. It might be that you fall and you bruise a rib, and then you go to school and someone pokes you in the belly and calls you fat, mm-hmm. or does it to your friend and you're watching, and then you watch your mom suck in her gut and, you know, try to look thinner. And then, you know, your parents argue and you get stressed out about it, so you brace your body. And then you get a little bit older and you think that bracing your middle makes your middle stronger, and you start wearing compression garments and waist trainers and things like that. So it really compounds itself, and you end up being, you know, 15 or 20, and you're squeezing your middle, you're bracing your body because you're trying to be prepared for the stress that's being thrown at you, whether that's, you know, stress over your technology that never goes to sleep or your own personal stress. And just culturally, when we see someone take what supposedly is a big breath, there's a huge movement of the upper chest and shoulders, and that couldn't be farther from what a deep breath looks like.
Wow. So Dr. Belisa, talking about a personal, you know, sort of story around this that maybe you can help me unpack, is growing up, definitely I had a lot of shame. I grew up in a, you know, I grew up on the East Coast in a completely Caucasian school, town, and I'm half Asian. So I always felt like I stood out and I was different. So I definitely had really bad posture, and I felt like I tried to kind of hide my face. And what's interesting is years later, I was taking a like a breathing test for my deep water scuba diving program. And the doctor who was doing the test said, you have the lungs of someone who's, it shows on his like little test, according to his test, he goes, you have the lungs of someone who's 64. And at the time I was literally, you know, 20, 19 or 20. And he's like, your diaphragm isn't functioning as well as it could. So, and since then, you know, I've gone into the yogic world and I do a lot of pranayama techniques and things. But with something like this, when there's something like you just don't take in as much breath because of your feelings of inadequacy, or you're not worthy enough to take the breath or whatever, you know, so many of us, especially women, feel not enoughness syndrome. Do you feel like the diaphragm can rebuild? Do you feel like all this trauma, all this, you know, improper breathing for years can actually be reversed? Hopefully.
Absolutely. You can absolutely change it. And the beauty in changing it is that you can do it yourself, and you absolutely own it. And it is your tool, and it is only yours, and you can make it fantastic. So
in this case, will you explain like what how does the diaphragm play into proper breathing? Like he was saying to me, oh, your diaphragm is not working as well, or it's not as expansive. What is that? Is that a common thing? Does that happen to people?
That's exactly the basis of bad breathing. So let's talk about that specifically, because I think shame and fear are things that we experience, but it changes our breathing, and then it makes us more ashamed and more fearful.
Yes.
And then you're stuck in this loop, and then all you get are things to think about, and you get told that you need to change your thinking patterns. But the solution is really changing your breathing, then your neurology changes, and then the change happens really from a biomechanical place, and then you can actually change your thoughts. But I think that going in and changing your breathing first is more important. So let me just look at you. And one of the things I do with people that's incredibly important, because the breath is so personal and it has a psychological component, is you have to look to see what your own story is. Mm-hmm. So yours is right there. You hit it on the head. Boom. Absolutely perfect. Is that shame over looking different or growing up in a community where you were different led you to probably have a posture. And I want you to do this now, although I don't want you to do it all the time, is that take your ribs and kind of squeeze them into your body, take your shoulders and move them forwards as if you're sort of trying to protect your heart. Okay. So this is a posture, and you'll actually see a lot of girls have this posture, especially if they've just started to have breasts or aren't, you know, like who we're not really tapped into or feel confident of our sexuality. That's like a lifelong thing. But
sure.
You see girls who or you're not confident about their bodies, and they have this posture of protecting their heart, shoulders forwards, and ribs and heart as far away from people as possible. It's sort of a crouching position. So like there's several postures. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And if you think about, again, if you go back to yoga, because I do come from a yoga background, even though the breathing I teach comes from martial arts and freediving and singing and birthing, is that yoga was the first place I learned. Yeah. But think about your heart. You're trying to pull your heart as far away as possible, and you're changing your posture in order to do that. So it becomes a mechanical problem, a biomechanical problem, in that you're in a posture where it's very hard for your diaphragm to flatten out and push your ribs open. Mm. Because really on the inhale, what should be happening is that your diaphragm takes your rib cage and pushes your rib cage to make it expand. So the problem is that we look at how we usually breathe in a dysfunctional way is shoulders up and down, and in a way that I call vertical. And the way you should be breathing is in a horizontal way. So look at your own son breathe. Look at any pet you have, any animal on the planet, and they're breathing by widening their bodies and then narrowing their bodies. Nobody under the age of 5 or any animal is using their shoulders. We are the only ones who are using our shoulders, and it's a dysfunctional breath. So if you're going to do one thing, well, several things, unfortunately, is that first of all, is look at your story, because it deserves attention. When do you remember starting to breathe differently? Was it around shame of your belly? Was it trying to look like someone? Was it bracing your body because you were scared? So find out, like, dig back deep and see if you can remember when you stopped breathing. And then the second thing is to fix it. And you start fixing it by getting your diaphragm involved. And often when I work with someone who's, you know, maybe in their 30s or 40s or 50s, that their diaphragm, because they've been squeezing their middles for so long, that their diaphragm is really stuck. It's like a muscle that's tight. So it's really about standing up, and it's not necessarily straight. It's just in a very neutral, relaxed posture. And you're going to inhale, and you're actually going to relax your body. And for a lot of us, that makes us feel really vulnerable and feels really weird. But you're going to inhale and maybe a little bit of belly, but relax your sides and even relax your back. And think about a puffer fish, how it expands in the middle. So let yourself expand in the middle, and you have to let go of your middle to do this. And don't worry, because now on the exhale, you're actually going to squeeze your body and try to narrow your belly on the exhale, not the inhale. And now you're going to squeeze out all that air, and that's a good exhale. And often I have people move their hips because this helps. So because a lot of us, even if we haven't done yoga, we know what cat-cow is.
Yes.
It's kind of like a seated cat-cow. So I want you to try this right now. Which take cat cow, which usually is on the floor on all fours, and put yourself seated how you probably are right now.
Yeah,
on the
cross-legged.
Inhale, yeah, cross-legged or on a chair, however you are. Inhale, let your belly go and let your butt bump back. So do selfie butt. Let your belly go.
Belfies.
And just relax your belly. Yeah. And now on the exhale, I want you to roll back as if you're coming into cat. And the cat is a scary Halloween cat. You're going to exhale, let your belly button get closer to your spine, blow out, and narrow your body. So the exhale is dynamic. It's not just let go. So tip forwards again, relax your body, take a big inhale. This is cow. And then on the exhale, roll back on your hips. Your hips go underneath you. Your belly button gets closer to your spine, and you squeeze out all the air and keep going forwards and back. Inhale, relax, and exhale, squeeze.
So you are moving your shoulders a bit here.
You're actually moving your hips a bit. Your shoulders a little tiny bit, but most of the movement is at your hips. Which means the added benefit of this is that you are getting your psoas muscles activated, and you're also giving your pelvic floor some love, which is good because we don't do enough of that.
So these areas that we haven't paid attention to, the pelvic floor, or let's say our diaphragm's gotten a little bit lazy, these sort of exercises can wake them back up.
Oh my goodness, so much that some people actually tear up. They'll start doing this, and if you're tearing up a little bit or just feeling like this wave of relief, it comes from having stopped bracing and letting yourself actually really relax your middle for a moment. And it also means that your digestive organs are being supported and massaged by your diaphragm. So is your lower back. So all of a sudden your body feels this like intense relief in that you're not bracing it anymore. And you're actually taking a breath with a muscle that you're supposed to be using. That's enormous. Your diaphragm, and most people don't realize, your diaphragm is as big as a Frisbee. It's a state the size of a Frisbee. Your breathing muscles weigh over 10 pounds when you're using them right. Yeah, but most of us are just using our neck and shoulders.
Yeah, so every day this kind of exercise, and I know you mentioned others in your breathe book, this is how you can really get your diaphragm on point. And then can you tell us, once you're really breathing the way you describe, really fully relaxing your middle, what kind of changes have you seen in people's lives beyond physical, beyond good posture?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, for me, it's been surprising in a journey as well, is that I'm a psychologist. I was a child psychologist by training. So I was doing, So I did a lot of IQ testing, a lot of psychometric testing. I started having to deal with my own stress. I was grinding my teeth. I was in New York after 9/11 and you know, all kinds of stressors. So I had to look for, okay, what's going to help me? And yoga helped tremendously, but I loved the breathing what he did with yoga, but I wanted more instructions that were more anatomy, more scientific. I mean, I have deep respect and love for yoga, but I wanted the instructions to sound more like gym instructions because I'm a gym rat. So I went and I studied different types of breathing with fantastic people we have. And people should not just read my book. They should read everything they can get their hands on as far as breathing, because there's terrific information that's not just mine out there. But what I saw is that we needed to be able to explain it in a way that made sense, that you could get a grade. So I actually had a grading system. So right now, one of the things that you can do is really look at two things, which is the range of motion and the location of motion. And that's what gives you your grade. You want your breathing in the middle of your body, between sort of your nipples and your belly button. You want the most movement to be going on there. And you want that range to be really wide and be really narrow. So what I found, and I was surprised, that people would talk or text me the next day and say, I can't believe it. My lower back feels better. I thought, that's interesting. I'm not a sound doctor, although I do love the book, My Body Prescription by John Sarno, who's a back expert. And it started me thinking about breathing and back. And I started looking at all the studies. And in fact, if you breathe diaphragmatically, you're taking better care of your lower back. So people with lower back pain tend not to breathe diaphragmatically and have more pain. So that was, to me, it was mind-blowing because I didn't come from that space. So I had to do a lot of work to read up. And then the second thing that I found really mind-blowing for me and profound was digestive disorders.
Beauty is a topic that is very close to my heart, as I have been exploring what it really means for a very long time. This started when I was backpacking around the world for 3 years, mostly in Africa and Asia, where I was able to see beauty expressed through all these amazing different cultures and amazing women. They weren't counting calories or obsessed with numbers, and yet they all had this energy, glowing skin, and vitality. This is what really inspired my philosophy and led me to write the Beauty Detox Solution. This is something that is in alignment with Ulta Beauty's philosophy. Ulta Beauty believes that beauty is limitless. Ulta Beauty celebrates the possibilities in each person and the notion that everyone has the potential to be whatever and whomever they want to be. That's why Ulta Beauty offers every guest the total beauty experience. Because Ulta Beauty knows you're not here to get beautiful, you're here because you already are. Ulta Beauty. The possibilities are beautiful.
Shopping for skincare is frustrating. Buy it, try it, toss it, repeat. Curology is here to help. Curology pairs with your own licensed dermatology provider who assesses your skin and prescribes you a custom formula to tackle acne, dark spots, or even fine lines. No guesswork, just a formula made to work for you. Get your consultation today at Curology.com/SXM. Curology, skincare with a face. Subject to consultation, subscription required. Cancel anytime.
If you like my show, you are going to love the Lady Gang podcast on Podcast One. The Hollywood Girl Posse has tackled the biggest names and stories in Hollywood, and now they're taking over your TV. Check out the funniest ladies on the planet as Kelty, Becca, and Jack prepare for their upcoming premiere this Sunday, October 28th on E! Congrats, ladies. And check out the Lady Gang podcast every Tuesday and Thursday on Podcast One or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. So, Doctor, for so long, I was constipated. And of course, I had a lot to clean up with my diet. I don't digest dairy very well or gluten. And I was just eating, you know, terribly. So I changed my diet. That helped a lot. But I always knew that there was an energetic reason, again, from a yogic standpoint, something around my solar plexus. That's where I hold a lot of stress and tightening. So tell me how this breathing work can help with issues like constipation and just bringing more energy around our center and any potential IBS
or other digestive distress disorders. I think it's very important to start by looking at how you're eating, and you changed your eating to be eating in a way that's good as it is now. But then to add on to that, it's really important to be able to use your diaphragm. Means that when you start breathing, when you expand on your inhale and contract on your exhale, your diaphragm actually massages your digestive organs. Plain and simple. So if you're not expanding and contracting your middle, your digestive disorgans, all of them, like your kidneys, your small intestine, your large intestine, everything is not getting, your liver especially, is not getting the massage that it's supposed to get. So you have stagnation. You have stagnation of your energy. Your pH could be off. I find people come in and they're very acidic, even if they're eating fairly well. So all that changes. Once this enormous muscle that sits on top of all your digestive disorganization starts moving, you actually clear lymph out of your body. So you will find that you're more energized and your digestion gets better. And again, because that wasn't my specialty, I was surprised to see that, but I see it consistently with my patients right now.
Wow. So I know there's all these, again, individual exercises in the book, but something as simple as focusing on breathing horizontally and expanding the ribs out.
Daily practice
with every breath.
That's actually, to help. That's pretty much the book, the main part of the book, and I have no problem giving it away, is that you need to find out why you started breathing vertically, if you can. Change your breath to be horizontal. Do stretches and anything to help your diaphragm get unstuck. And then you strengthen your breathing muscles by doing all kinds of exercises. Some of them come from free diving, others from yoga, like Kapalabhati.
Yes.
But the main idea is really to understand that it's your biomechanics, the biomechanics of your breathing, the way you breathe that has to change. And there's two reasons why this is easier than it sounds. Number one is that you used to breathe this way. So Kimberly at 5 years old was breathing beautifully, absolutely perfectly, with an inhale that was wide and expansive and efficient and exhaling out perfectly. So it's important to know that you used to breathe this way. I'm not teaching you something new, and it's not going to feel as foreign as trying to change a habit that we all know changing health habits are really, really hard. But this is almost unlearning bad habits, remembering how you used to breathe. And then the second thing is that the only reason your diaphragm is in your body is to breathe. So it wants to, if you don't mind me anthropomorphizing your diaphragm for a second, is that it's this enormous muscle that wants to work. It wants to be doing what, you know, the reason it was put in your body for. So you're really just letting it do its job. So it's interesting. You'll watch when you start tipping forwards and back and doing this seated cat-cow is that there'll be moments where you go, oh my goodness, this feels so good. I wonder if I have it. I think I have it. Oh my gosh, this feels so natural. I feel a little bit high. And then you'll lose it because you'll go back to your old habits and you have to remind yourself over and over again. And it'll come to a moment where you think, wow, now I'm actually doing it. It feels more natural. And I understand why I need to breathe this way. And I feel so much better. So there is a process of learning that you need to let your brain and your body go through.
You know, I'm sitting here trying to take deep breaths and I feel like my belly is going forward. Is that considered? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, so it's like pushing out something. Tell me.
So there's something called paradoxical breathing. And this is really cool because I don't usually get to talk about this, but women are paradoxical breathers more than men. So right now, if you're feeling like, you know what, this is kind of the opposite of what I'd like to do. Like she's explaining this and I'm feeling like I want to inhale when she's saying exhale and vice versa. And like I said, more women are paradoxical. More women have breathing pattern dysfunction than men, and more women are paradoxical breathers. And paradoxical breathers actually will do this. And I don't want you to do this all the time, so I hesitate, but this is just this one time that we're going to do this, is that I want you to gasp as if somebody has said boo and they've really scared you. So I just want you to gasp one time. Like, oh my goodness. Right? So watch what you do when you gasp. You puff up your chest and your shoulders go up a little bit and you tighten your middle. Uh-huh. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
So if you continue to be scared in your life and you start bracing your middle, you'll start breathing this way, which is exactly the opposite of the way you're supposed to breathe.
Yeah.
So isn't that wild? So if you take your hands and when I teach, I like doing a lot of movement and a lot of kinesthetic learning because I think that talking about it is good, but feeling it on your body is even better. I want you to take your palms and put them at the very bottom of your ribs in the front of your body. Mm-hmm. So your palms, you should feel your palms right at the bottom of your ribs, almost in the very middle between your belly button and your nipple is your palms are there, and feel your hands on your body. That's where the biggest part of your lungs are.
Ah.
So I want you to inhale, look down at your hands, and on the inhale, without self-hate, with self-love, I want you to inhale and let that part of your body expand and know that on the exhale, you're going to squeeze. This way of breathing is actually going to make your core and your pelvic floor stronger. So on the exhale, your hands should sink into your body as you exhale. And on the inhale, I want you to puff up underneath your hands and take a belly breath. Even though at the very end of learning this, what you want is called an abdominothoracic breath, which means that your belly and your sides and your back opens up. It's the circumference of your body. But for now, take a belly breath. And when you exhale, squeeze and almost do a crunch. And that's the way you should be breathing.
I kind of understand what you're saying.
But isn't that strange that it's so foreign? It's something that we so need and so cherish, while at the same time, when we start doing it right, it's so foreign to us.
It's amazing. Oh my gosh, this is... And again, like we were talking about, it's great to have the yogic breath techniques, but to also have this, you know, scientific approach. I think it's great to have both and to understand the physiology of breath, which is so powerful. And more research is coming. The yogis have always talked about it. And it's just great tools to include so that we do breathe the best and we do know what we're doing. Because
exactly
this whole sort of like horizontal breath, I mean, I feel like I need to strengthen
and you'll
my
see
diaphragm
so many
again.
Interesting
I feel like
things
my
happen.
Is out of
you
whack.
Know, you'll see so many interesting things happen, especially when you start really realizing that, wow, my diaphragm's best friend is the pelvic floor. And the pelvic floor has 20 muscles, and it's, you know, it's a little bit smaller than your diaphragm, and it sits directly underneath it, and it's attached by your psoas. So we've become so, you know, distanced from our bodies that we don't even remember that. But the fact is that your diaphragm's huge and it's right above your pelvic floor, and your breathing and pelvic floor should be in sync. So when you inhale and you tip forwards, you should be relaxing your pelvic floor and your glutes and your hips. Because when we're taught to do Kegels or pelvic floor contractions, we're not taught, we're taught to do them in a really bizarre way. First of all, we're taught to do them at a time when we should be learning how to relax our pelvic floors. Usually we don't start talking about pelvic floor until you're pregnant and people mention pelvic floor. And then they tell you to do Kegels, which is the silliest time to do Kegels because that's the time when you should be relaxing your pelvic floor before you give birth. And you also should know that a lot of pelvic floor dysfunction comes from the pelvic floor being too tight, too rigid, rather. So you need your pelvic floor to be flexible and strong. We don't talk about the flexible. And I mean, there's amazing people out there talking about pelvic floor who I've learned from, and Leslie Howard and Issa Herrera, and just fantastic people out there. And attaching the breath to pelvic floor all of a sudden makes you make sense. So actually, let's do this right now, if you don't mind.
For sure.
We're going to actually throw in some pelvic floor in that in there as well, because we all have them and we all need to be paying attention to them. So when I talk about pelvic floor, I want you to think about your bicycle seat. So it's the part of your body that hits the bicycle seat, pure and simple. Mm-hmm. And on the inhale, when you tip forwards on your seat, I want you to think about your pelvic floor. So I want you to think about there's 20 muscles on the bottom of your body, right? They're all intertwined and there are three layers, but it's 20 muscles. On the inhale, I almost want you to do what's called a reverse Kegel. It's not bear down. It's just relax your pelvic floor and glutes, relax your belly. Now on the exhale, tip back into scary Halloween cat. You're going to squeeze your abs and you're also going to do a pelvic floor contraction at the same time. And it should make sense. Oh, of course I do a Kegel on the exhale because I'm also squeezing my lower abs.
Dr. Melissa, it's hard. I feel like I'm doing it overall.
But here's what I get so much.
Like, oh, do this, do this.
Yeah. Don't worry. Don't worry. And one of the reasons the pelvic floor feels the opposite is because you've been told to do it on the inhale as if your vaginal canal is a elevator going up five flights of stairs. Now, how silly is that? Because first of all, the analogy is so ugly. And it's completely the opposite of the way we're built. You should be contracting your pelvic floor on the exhale. And that's why none of us do Kegels as well as we could or as often as we should.
Are we supposed to do them all the time? Because I feel like I never do them anymore.
No.
I did them when I was pregnant because it's like hypnobirthing class. That's when you're told me to do it. Yeah.
No, you should, if you're breathing well, you're going to be moving your pelvic floor and you're going to have awareness in your pelvic floor. So what's nice about all this is that honestly, I am giving you all the biohacks in the most summarized version of everything, because I know we have limited time and I just want to give you as much information as possible. So don't worry. This is like what I'm talking about right now and everything I've said is usually a 2-week class, but I just want you to have as much information as you can.
No, I thank you so much, doctor. And thank you for being on the podcast. I have your book right now in my hands. And what I really love about it, it's very approachable. I like that there's like space on each page. It's not dense and like super intimidating to read. There's little quizzes, there's pictures. I mean, this is an amazing book, an amazing
Thank you. Like, thank you. I actually love this book. I really do.
It's really great.
It's practical. So
yeah.
Thank you.
So beauties, we're going to link to it in the show notes. Again, of course, we can talk to Dr. Belisa all day. She is such a smart, intelligent, amazing woman that's bringing this work into the world to help us. You know what it feels like to me, doctor? Like, this is about self-worth too. It's like, I deserve to breathe well. I deserve to take up space in the world and to reclaim my breath, my prana, my energy, my power. There's something so empowering about this. I love it.
You just gave me goosebumps because that's exactly what it is that when you inhale, it's letting yourself at the most basic level know that you deserve.
You just gave
me goosebumps because that's exactly what it is. Thank you, Kimberly.
Oh, well, your work is amazing, Dr. Belisa. I appreciate you so much. Thank you for coming on our podcast. And beauties, Dr. Belisa's website, we are also going to link to in the show notes, but it's thebreathingclass.com. Again, her book is called Breathe, the simple revolutionary 14-day program to improve your mental and physical health. So Dr. Lisa, we love you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for sharing this knowledge with us. I can't wait to learn more, to practice my breathing exercises, fix my diaphragm. I can see the
thank you for having me anytime
aspect
at all.
Of your work. So thank you for what you do. And for being you, of course. Most important.
Always. Always.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Have a great day. Thanks for having me.
Okay. Bye-bye.